So how many of you remember the popular Steven Spielberg movie, Back to the Future? Okay, most of you do. If you haven't seen it, you need to go online to Netflix or something and watch it. It's a great movie that was released in 1985. It's the story of a teenager named Marty McFly, played by Michael J. Fox, who befriends an eccentric scientist played by Christopher Lloyd. And in the movie, Marty McFly is transported back in time 30 years to the year 1955, where he meets his future parents. And then he tries to go back to the future. Well, it was a great movie, highly entertaining. It became the most successful movie of the year in 1985. And so naturally, there was a sequel, Back to the Future 2. And in this movie, Marty McFly and the scientist travel 30 years into the future, to the year 2015. The future is now. Now, the movie version of 2015 was full of hoverboards, flying cars, self-lacing shoes, and self-fitting clothes. But you know, it also predicted flat-screen televisions, video calling, and personal communication devices. And one other little thing, the movie predicted there would be no more lawyers. I'm glad it didn't say anything about clergy. So here we are. The year is 2015. The future is now. And on this first Sunday of the new year, I want to challenge us. I want to challenge you individually, and I want to challenge us collectively as a church to enter into this new year with a new commitment, with a new vision, with a new resolve, by embracing three simple truths. The first is, always we begin again. Secondly, live your life doing good for others. And thirdly, live your life with intentionality and purpose. It was Saint Benedict who made one of the primary truths of his order, always we begin again. In the Psalm 61, then I will ever sing the praise of your name, and I will fulfill my vows day after day. Day after day, day by day. That is the only way to truly live and to embrace every new day as a gift from God. For we worship the God who makes all things new. We believe in Christ, in whom we become a new creation. All of the old has passed away, and the new has come. All of our mistakes, all of the failures, all of the shortcomings, all of the heartache, all of that is in the past. Today is a new day. Saint Benedict said we should embrace every day with the spirit of thanksgiving. And Tommy, you said that so well in your challenge to us, that we do have so many blessings. We need to count our blessings, name them one by one. And every day we need to believe in the goodness of God. We need to embrace the challenge and the opportunity of the new day with a sense of thanksgiving, because there's so many people who have not lived to see this new day. Saint Benedict said every day carries the potential to bring the experience of heaven. And so have the courage to expect good from it. I love that. Every day carries the potential to experience the glory of heaven. Have the courage to expect good in this day. Because yes, we do believe that God is good all the time. And Saint Benedict said, be gentle with this life and use the light of life to live fully in your time. Always we begin again. Every day is a new day. We can put the past behind us. God makes all things new. The second truth is to simply live your life doing good for others. In a couple of weeks, we will resume our Bible study on Monday night. And Tuesday morning, we've been studying the Beatitudes, the opening to the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And Jesus models for us a life of service, a life in which we are enriching and blessing and doing good for other people. And we find fulfillment in our life when we bless the life of someone else, especially the life of someone less fortunate. Saint Benedict said, if you want to live the life that only you can live, then do good for others. And when you have done good, you will have life abundantly. There were so many of us that had the joy this past Christmas of watching our grandchildren, or watching your children, or maybe nieces and nephews open Christmas gifts. There's nothing like it to see the excitement and to see how joyful they are when they open the gifts. But you know, on Christmas Day, I thought about some other children. I thought about some other children in this community who were finding baby dolls, or maybe a shiny new bicycle, or nice new red sweater, or new pair of shoes under the tree because of your generosity. Because of what this church did, adopting children through the Salvation Army. And I thought about children halfway around the world who opened a simple shoebox. And maybe they found, a little girl found a doll. And they found a sense of joy that they had not experienced before because of your generosity. And that brought me a sense of fulfillment, knowing that I had had a small part in making a big difference in the life of a child. You know what Saint Benedict said? He said, a life without good works is a shadow life, and a life centered on itself is an empty life. Seek to do good for others and you will find fulfillment. Forget yourself and you will discover what you are seeking. And so what is the theme of our commitment emphasis? Give, and it will be given to you. Let us be generous in our gifts, because that's what we want to be as a church. We want to be the church that is the presence of Christ in this community. We want to be salt. We want to be light in a world of darkness. We want to reach out in this community in ways that we have never imagined, to make a qualitative difference in the lives of others. Our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose is to be the presence of Christ. And the more we give, the more we will be blessed, and the biggest difference we can make. I asked Brennan Gillum before the service, because I wanted to make sure I had this right, but many of you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about our budget. And I hope that one thing that was crystal clear is that everything that we do in this church is involved with glorifying God and doing good for others in this community and around the world. And I asked Brennan, I said, what I heard you say was, if we could increase our individual gifts by 10%, we could increase what we give to missions in this church. Well, we could double it. Did you hear that? If we individually would simply increase our gifts 10%, we could double the good that we're doing in this community and around the world. Live your life doing good for others. And the third truth is live every day with intentionality and purpose. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. That's intentionality. Every day, beginning anew every day, living our life with intentionality and a sense of purpose. Many of you are like me. You love to travel. And if you love to travel, there is nothing more exciting than the day of departure. And we have experienced many exciting days. On a Monday morning in May, when we gather in the church parking lot to get on the big charter bus to go on one of our Bible study field trips, when the youth gather in the wee hours of the morning, as they will this coming summer, as we prepare to go to Belize on a mission trip, or piling the family into a car, leaving before dawn for a long-anticipated family vacation. Well, 4 years ago, Joyce and I were able to take the trip of a lifetime, thanks to you and the Lilly Endowment. And you talk about intentionality and purpose. We planned that sabbatical for over 2 years. Finally, the big day arrived. Joyce and I were in the airport at Newark. We were awaiting our flight to go overseas. We were flying to Geneva. And we were sitting at the gate when the pilot of the plane and his crew arrived to board. And the pilot, who was obviously the captain of his crew, was dressed in his impressive full uniform. He was walking with poise and purpose, and he had a happy smile on his face. When I looked at him, I knew that I was in good hands. And that's what we want our pilots to do, don't we? Like Sean. He has that same sense that you just know that we're in good hands when we get on his plane. Well, this pilot had such a sense of confidence and poise, and I knew that we were going to have a great flight, and I looked at him and asked, are you going to take us to Geneva? And you know what he said? I'll never forget this. He looked at me and said, only if you want to go. Only if you want to go. Well, here we are. The future is now. This is the year 2015. Jesus is our pilot. He is the head of the church. And one look at Jesus and we know that we're in good hands. We don't have to worry about who's piloting the plane. He's ready to lead our church to new heights of mission and ministry, doing good in our community, enriching the life of our town, being salt and light to this community. But if you ask Jesus, are you going to lead us to new heights? Are you going to lead us to growth? Are you going to lead us to be more effective? I feel like he would say to us, only if you want to go. You see, faith begins with us taking the first step. You have to be intentional about getting on the plane. You can't just sit at the gate. We have to do something. We have to be committed. We have to be willing to give. We have to be willing to serve. We have to be willing to walk out of this sanctuary, to go and pick up those forms, and to prayerfully consider the difference that we can make in the life of our church. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Only if we want to go. And so let us embrace every day as a gift from God, beginning anew. Let us live our lives doing good for others. And let us have a sense of intentionality and purpose so that we walk by faith, trusting Jesus as the head of the church, because it is so sweet to trust in Jesus.